This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
October is Mental Health Awareness Month in South Africa, a month that aims to shine a light on and destigmatize the silent epidemic that affects millions of people. Tonight, we are unpacking the causes, symptoms, and we speak broadly about how to change the status quo around the stigma and begin to change the narrative around mental health-related issues. My next guests are, of course, Fatima Zahra. Fatima, psychologist, therapist, and mental health consultant. Welcome to Power 98.7.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
And how are you, Fatima?
I'm good, thank you. And I just want to include that I am from SADAG. I'm a representative of the South African Depression and Anxiety Group.
Fatima, and it's Zahra, right? Fatima Zahra, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Let's go to, and I'm going to, I know how to say Geffen, right? But is it Shaney or Shiny or how do I get the first name right?
Hi, Denzel. It's Shaney. The first one was correct.
Shaney, right. No, I need to be able to get it right. And, you know, I didn't want you to be polite and I'm getting away with pronouncing it wrong and you just keep quiet the whole evening. Yes. And right at the end, you know, Shaney, you say to me, oh, by the way, it's Shaney, Denzel. And I'm, you know, like, that's where you leave me, right?
Shaney, I'm glad we cleared it up now.
Shaney Geffen, and project leader for advocacy and awareness of the South African Federation for Mental Health. Let's bring them both into the conversation instead of just, you know, individually. I'm going to bring Fatima and Shaney. So Fatima and Shaney, you both would be able to speak at the same time and not, you know, individualistically. So I'll deal with it like that. So let me start with you, Shaney. October, mm-hmm. Mental Health Month and Awareness Month. It's mm-hmm. there's no better time, right, to get educated, to get, you know, yourself looked at if you think that, you know, that you might be, you know, or have symptoms of mental health, and in fact begin to maybe talk about it more broader than one would have. Is and you know, I have to also say this. My problem sometimes with months is that we isolate the conversation within a particular month, and then me and you only begin to talk about this, Shaney, next year October again. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the issues that I have with Women's Month and all sorts of other issues around this. So it's an opportunity to engage and prioritize the conversations, but also there's this negative stigma that says, why only in October, right?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, as you said, World Mental Health Day, World Mental Health Month provides us with the opportunity to re-spark and deepen the commitment we give to mental health as individuals, as families, as communities, as countries. But mental health should be a global priority for everyone, everywhere, and not just in October, but every day, because we all have mental health. Mental health is your health, and it is a human right to have mental health, to be mentally well.
Shaney, why don't we talk about it? And I'm going to go to Fatima and ask you that same question, Fatima. I don't want to talk about the stigma now and that sort of negative connotation to it. But why don't we, as medical practitioners, as psychologists, as ordinary people who would have, you know, who would suffer from it and or seeing people who suffer from it, who engage it every day, because it's pretty much, you know, there in every single community that we want to look at or talk about. So what prevents us? And I don't want to say the stigma prevents us and we don't talk about it, about the stigma. What prevents us from really engaging it as a topical issue?
I think from my perspective, coming from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, we are so fortunate because almost every month we're creating awareness around a different topic. Mm. So, yes, World Mental Health Day, World Mental Health Month, we create a lot of awareness around mental health. Mm. But throughout the year, we are covering different topics, different information of different mental illnesses. Mm. Because what we try to do is increase conversation. The more we speak about mental health and the more we create awareness around mental health, we are enabling people to understand that, yes, it's okay to speak about mental health. Mm. And yes, it's okay to not be okay. Mm. And when you're not okay, you can reach out. There's resources out there. SADAG runs 24-hour helplines. We go into communities. On the ground level, we have workshops. We have talks. We have two counseling containers that work in Dipset and Ivory Park. And on a daily basis, our staff are out there visiting malls, visiting clinics, visiting different schools, talking about important issues that impact people on a daily basis. And we cover mental health through almost every single day of the year. And we've seen the difference because initially when we started working in communities, there was a certain amount of resistance. People were not aware, but they were also very resistant to come up and speak to us about what they're going through. Mm. DevFlut has been running their counseling container for 10 years. Mm. It is the most busiest NGO in the little area that it is in. We see people waiting outside, waiting to be seen. When they know they're not feeling well, they come through. Mm. We have support groups, and there are so many people that are more aware of mental health now than what it was when I started working at SADAG. That was like 12 years ago. Mm. And we see people actually reaching out. So even with our helplines, before COVID, we were reaching about 600 people reaching out to us over all our different platforms. Mm. Currently, we're getting about 3,000 people on a daily basis.
Sure. Let me go to Fatima then. Fatima, you've heard. Fatima?
Oh, sorry, Denzel. I think that was Fatima that responded.
Oh, not
to that question, not Shaney.
Okay.
But Denzel, I was wondering, I know that you're the interviewer here, if I indulge me
absolutely.
For a moment,
yeah.
Just to follow on, just to chat with you, the listeners, Power FM, to say, what is mental health and maybe what is a mental health condition? That we all know what we're talking about here. So what is mental health? Okay, well, put simply, mental health is your health. It's how healthy you feel. And we all have mental health, just like we all have physical health. And you need to look after your mental health, just like you look after your physical health. Now, a mental health condition, which can also be called a mental health disorder or a mental illness, is something that not everyone has. This is diagnosed by a clinician after doing, like a psychologist, a psychiatrist, after they do a variety of assessments with you. Mm. Anyone can get a mental health condition. Anyone can get a mental illness. Almost 1 billion people are living with mental illness, based on 2017 statistics. But based on your genetics, your biology, what you experience in your life, how well you're looking after your mental health, you could be at a higher risk for developing a mental illness. Mm. And it's important to know there's nothing shameful about having a mental illness at all. And as Fatima was saying, we know that when services are available, that serves to improve people's discussions around mental health and mental illness.
Shaney, well, you've jumped three questions.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No problem with that. And in essence, I think you've started the conversation proper then. But you know, I needed first to understand why people don't engage exactly what you've just elaborated on, why people don't engage it, you know, to the extent that we can talk about it every single day, to the extent that when you're not feeling well, just like what Fatima says, when you know you're not feeling well, that you can be in that open space where you can feel comfortable to begin to raise it. And so, yes, you know, that's where I wanted to begin to understand the issue of why we're not engaging. Do you have a particular comment on that particular aspect?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, because it is still the most common, is the one thing you asked me not to jump into, is still stigma and discrimination. And, you know, a UNICEF report shows that 65% of young people in our country do not seek help for mental health issues.
Shani, that would include people who maybe do suffer from mental health, right? And that would be the person in essence needing to speak out who doesn't speak out. I think what I'm asking is why don't we as a broader community begin to engage the subject more fully instead of, you know, somebody who might have a mental illness beginning to feel, you know, like they discriminated against or, you know, some other reason, and that's why they don't speak out. Why don't we as a community, as a society, don't engage this just broader and begin to be on the lookout, assist where we can, and be more topical about the issue?
Absolutely. And I think it is because people see mental health as mental illness.
Okay.
They see you suffering from mental health, but that is not true. Mm. We all have mental health. It is your health, full stop. Mm. And so mental illness, which people think of as being mental health, is something that is separate. And just like there's nothing shameful about having diabetes, having COVID, there's nothing shameful about having mental illness. Mm. But if you want to have good mental health, like you have good physical health and you floss your teeth and you go for a walk, you have to also take steps to manage your mental health to make sure you stay healthy. That's different to having a mental illness. So I would say just a lack of understanding that mental health is something everyone has. No one can suffer from it. It's your health. Mm. And then mental illness is something separate. Mm. I don't know if that, what you
No, 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 say. I've got, I understand you. I understand you totally. Let me go to Fatima. Okay. Fatima, this thing of societal stigmas seems to, you know, cross, or when you have a conversation, whether it's me asking why don't we talk about it broadly, and why, you know, why don't people particularly talk about it, this thing about societal stigmas is it seems to be a massive stumbling block. And we can talk about all the other things that we can talk about. We can talk about treatment, diagnosis, you know, employer responsibilities. We can talk about the, you know, how it varies in severity. We can talk about, you know, how it impacts your physicalness, and if not. This thing of societal stigmas seems to be one, or if not the biggest sort of stumbling block that we have.
Yes, I think it's also the way we were groomed and the way we were grown up, because we're told we need to be strong, or if you fell, especially for males, for men, you fell, your mom used to say, come, stand up, let's move on. Where if it was a girl, she used to be treated differently. So, you know, showing extra love, saying sorry. So it goes back to how society raises us and how we are built as human beings. And we were taught that if we had issues, mental illness or some sort of death in your mental health, you feel like as if you are being seen as weak. And none of us want to be seen as that. Mm. But we had a very interesting conference today, and there was something that was really interesting. And the guest, main guest person was Black Coffee. And he said, it's time we reinvent the perception of mental health in communities. And that starts, and I think it stems from us changing the narrative
mm-hmm. which means that now we, from these small campaigns and the conversations we have in with you right now, it's important conversations. And with these conversations, we encourage people to speak more about it.
Mm.
And that's where we're going to start changing the narrative of how we perceive mental health and mental illness. So the more we speak about it, the more we normalize it, which makes it okay then for more people to reach out and get the help they need. With COVID and the pandemic that we went through, more people became self-aware of their mental health and their mental well-being. And more people are now in tune, and they sort of, you know, if they feel like they need help or they need to speak to someone, they're more readily able to reach out in comparison to prior to COVID. Because I think over that period, it was a really difficult time.
Mm.
And we just see more conversations happening currently. And I'm so happy that we can carry on creating more conversations about mental health and mental illness. So more people, the more we educate each other, the more we learn about things, the more we start normalizing mental health.
Sure. Let me go to Shaini. Shaini, diagnosis. So we begin to be aware of it. We're talking about it, and we're suggesting, you know, beyond the period of a and so when does an individual, and I want to separate this conversation. When does an individual begin to say, I am not feeling great, I am not feeling well, and begin to have a conversation about their mental status? And when does somebody else who might see, different mood, you know, scenarios within an individual, changes in their lifestyle, when does that other individual also begin to engage around this particular individual and diagnosis around mental health? And those two conversations I want to separate in essence, because they are separate, because when we begin to say you withdraw and you isolate yourself as when you do have a mental health illness, somebody else should obviously be observing that and is in a position then to begin to help you. So that's one conversation. The other conversation is, when do you begin to diagnose yourself? When you begin to see changes within yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question.
Sure.
So just to say, you know, our mental health now, so health, what we all have, just like physical health,
yeah.
it exists on a spectrum. And that changes throughout your life, you know, from great mental health to poor mental health, back up to great, in the middle. That's how it is. It's on a spectrum.
And what you're saying almost is that every single person has a mental health, you know, scenario within themselves.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they'll feel bad, and sometimes they'll just feel worse, and sometimes they'll just do this. It's no different from any other person, and how that person should be viewed.
Totally. We've all felt low in our lives.
Mm.
We've all felt sad. We've all felt, you know, just perhaps hopeless. I was listening to the voice notes from earlier. I definitely got a feeling of hopelessness.
Mm.
But when it turns into, for example, depression, which is a mental illness now. So this isn't poor mental health. This is a mental illness. This is when we have a feeling of low mood that lasts for a long time.
Mm.
And as you said, it affects your everyday life. You're struggling to connect with others. You're feeling super unmotivated, exhausted, a low self-esteem. Your physical health is, you know, really deteriorated. And in its mildest form, depression won't stop you from leading your life maybe as you would, but it just makes everything that much harder to do. You know, of course, at its most severe, depression can make you think of suicidal thoughts, and that's when it's extremely important to reach out for help, like for SADAG's 24/7 suicide hotline, and that is when you reach out. But I think your question is, you know, in that early stage, maybe in its mildest form, when do you reach out for help? And I am here to tell you and all of the listeners,
Do not worry if your problem is too small or unimportant. Mm. Everyone deserves help, and your family and or friends and or employer and or doctor is there to support you. And there is no right way to ask for help. Mm. You just need to ask.
What do you say? What's the language you use?
Right.
And because that's the beginning of a conversation. You know, if I went to my doctor, right, and I'm feeling relatively tired, I have a GP, and I go to my GP and I'll say to him, you know, I'm fine, but I'm feeling a bit tired. And he'll say, let me, you know, take your shirt off, and he'll put something in my mouth and check my throat and put, you know, do my ear thing. And he'll ask me to move an elbow or whatever it is that he does. And then he might just subscribe something for tiredness. What's the language I use, Shaini?
For sure. So I would say even before the appointment, make sure that you've taken time to write down what you want to say in advance. Think about what has it been like to be you over the past few weeks? What are some of the things that you want to discuss to bring to the appointment? Maybe if you're not too sure, feel free to ask your loved one to come with as well, so that they can perhaps share their experience of what it's been like to be around you at home. Use words and descriptions that are natural to you. You don't need to say any sort of diagnosis or depression, or you'll use any fancy words. Just say what it's like to be you over the past few months and weeks, and if anything has changed. And this is extremely important. If you feel your health provider has given you, has not really heard you, has not really seen what the issue is over here, please, please speak up. You are in charge of your own health. And it's extremely important that you make yourself heard.
Fatima, I want to ask you, Fatima, you can add to that particular conversation, but I also want to just add what kind of conversations go on between the head and the heart, you know, when we've got this, because in essence, what I'm hearing from both of you and why I say the head and the heart connection is you've got to try to be positive rather than negative throughout this, as you journey through it. So please comment on all the other, but is there a connection between the head and the heart in positive and negative attitudes in all of this?
Yes, I think there is a link between the two. And, you know, mental illness is so complex, and it's like taking an onion and peeling it till you get to the middle. There's all these complex little bits and leaves and everything that goes with it. One thing we always advise our callers, if they call in or when we're doing, you know, talks or anything, we have really helpful brochures and information that's on our website. So what we do is we encourage them to take a brochure, and like, each of the illnesses have check boxes. So all you do is you check the check boxes with all the symptoms you are going through. And when you go to your GP or your first line of person that you're going to be getting help from, it's difficult to relate and to speak to someone because it's the first time you're experiencing all of this.
Absolutely. And hence my question was, what's the language you use?
It can.
Oh, Fatima? Shall we try to get Fatima back? I think we've just lost Fatima. Let's go to Shaini. Shaini, would you like to pick up on that? We're just going to try to bring Fatima back into the conversation. I was asking about a link between head and heart, how you think about things and how emotionally you are about things. Do you think there is a connection? The positiveness that you've got to try to, you know, remain. I mean, change is everything, and change is inevitable, right? So good mental health is key almost, from what I'm hearing you say, particularly you, as you move through transition, getting married, changing jobs, having kids, you know, moving house, all of these things could be stressful in essence. So that positiveness that you've got to basically just, you know, basically bring about instead of falling into depression and negativeness, the head and the heart. Before I think we've secured Fatima again, but speak to that.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And I just want to add on over here to say good mental health isn't only about being positive and not addressing what is going on within you. A person with good mental health might feel good about themselves, feel good about their relationships, feel positive about the future, perhaps. They're reaching their full potential. You can still have good mental health and feel sad and feel distressed and feel hope. It's when it persists over a long period of time. But I'm sure that, you know, Fatima and I, something we really, really want to get across is that we are not telling listeners just to think positive things and then everything will go away.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely spot on in that there's lots of different talking therapy.
And I lose Shaney. Shaney's gone this time around. So let me go back to Fatima. I'm losing people in the conversations.
Okay.
Fatima, pick up where you left off.
You know what's the most important thing is we need to be aware that different people cope differently with different things they go through in life. So everyone is so unique. So what may be easy for me is not easy for yourself.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So we can't compare each other, but we can definitely learn coping skills from each other or from different people and their experiences that will help us build, and that will help us then have better mental health. So when we are going through difficult times, and even if it may be the most minute thing that you're going through, it's important to reach out. So whether it's having a conversation with an anonymous counselor on the SADAG 24-hour helpline, if you feel comfortable with that, call us. If you feel comfortable speaking to a loved one or someone in your community, go ahead and speak to them. I think it's just so important to run your thoughts and ideas through someone, because sometimes when you are narrating what you're going through or what's going on with you, you sort of start understanding yourself better because now you're listening to yourself as well. But also it's about the next person giving you feedback. In that way, you sometimes, you know, they always say talk therapy helps. So by just talking about what's bothering you sometimes helps you cope better with what you're going through.
Sure.
That's why we encourage people, reach out, speak up. Our previous campaign was Brave Conversations, and it was people speaking
Brave Conversations.
About- Yes.
I like that.
It takes a lot of courage, and it's not supposed to, but because of the stigma attached to mental health and mental illness, it takes a lot of courage to speak about what you're going through. So let's have that brave conversation. Let's share our ideas, our thoughts, and let's reach out to get the help that we need. No matter how big or small it is, people will give you a non-judgmental listen to. And that is where I think we'll add essence to each other. It's like, you know, wherever you go, people always say, be kind, because you don't know what the next person's going through. And it's always been that way for all of us. And if you can just maybe, you know, reach out to someone that you love and you are concerned about and say, listen, I see there's a bit of changes. Let's talk. If you see someone posting on social media or on their WhatsApp status and they seem a bit offish, don't hold back. Go forward and reach out to them and ask them, are you okay? Is everything okay with you? And just by you reaching out, give some sort of comfort to the person that's actually going through something difficult.
Sure. You know, Fatima, I'm going to bring Rose into the conversation. Rose has been listening to the conversation. She's probably got a statement or two questions, but
sure.
it's something that she reminded me about. At, last year sometime as one goes on holiday, I was crossing the road and I tweeted about it, and I crossed the road, and this very old gentleman crossed the road with me as well, and greeted me profoundly, greeted me and took off his hat and said, hello, hi, how are you? And I greeted him back too, and we crossed the road, and I thought, wow, that was pretty nice, you know, that was pretty interesting. He has quite a friendly face. The people in this town are quite friendly. And he crossed the street, and I looked back, and he entered a funeral parlor, and I thought, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I actually greeted and nodded and acknowledged, you know, because, you know, in as much as he looked fine and seemed fine, he had just entered a funeral parlor. And obviously, you know, things were a little different in that particular case. Let me bring Rose into the conversation. Rose?
Good evening, ladies.
They both there, Rose, Fatima and Shaini, yeah?
Hello. Hello once again, Denzel.
Sure. Hey.
And thank you so much for taking my call again. Now, my first question links to the question that I asked the MEC, the incoming MEC of Education earlier on. And that is teaching children to understand and deal with grief and trauma at an ECD level and into primary as well. Mm. You know, is there any way in which we can start to teach them these things on an academic level so that by life's eventualities, when it does happen, there's a starting point for the kids to sort of take off from? That is my one question. The other one. I want to ask is, in high school, how much does mental health feature on the curriculum? Is it like once a month in LO, or what is the case? Because what I do think is that, yes, we're talking of a spectrum when we're discussing mental health, you know, both sort of hereditary but also inflicted scenarios. Mm. And the particular one that I am thinking of, and I don't see it recognized very much here, are people who are pathologically narcissistic, and the ripple effect impacts on everybody around them to such a point where have we thought of, because a lot of people are also from the external impacted on in terms of their love of life, in terms of suicides. When we look at suicide interventions, you know, there's a different frontier in mental health here. It's an evolving frontier in mental health, because now it destroys codependence, but it also drives codependence to suicide, amongst others. So I think that it is just such a critical aspect of mental health that one has to consider, because sometimes it does not start with you. It is triggered within you, and, you know, being out there, getting rehab for depression, getting rehab for any of the mental conditions you might be admitted for, and you come back just like drug rehab. If what you went to get treated on inside the hospital does not change once you come out, you know, there's a chance of a stronger and greater impact.
Sure, Rose, always good to hear from you, Rose. Always bringing sort of the question. I'm gonna leave it with Rose's question. Shaini, do you want to pick up on Rose anywhere there in all the kind of elements that she has raised?
Definitely. What I love about Rose's question is that she's asking, you know, how do we make sure mental health is a conversation not just within our departments of health, but within our other departments too? And Department of Basic Education, or education, is such a critical one. Mm. We know that we need to improve the mental health literacy, and that amongst young people, and including it in the curricula, and as early as ECD level, is entirely appropriate and should be encouraged. I want to say, Rose, that we are advocating, I mean, we need to put forward recommendations for the NHI, the incoming National Health Insurance. And one of our recommendations are that there needs to be funded, as seen as a health thing, there needs to be a social and emotional learning program. This is, of course, based in evidence that we've seen improves mental health literacy, because when young people can speak about what they're feeling and what they need, that automatically helps them find and seek the resources that are available and apply to them. So absolutely, Rose, this is very much on our agenda, and we need to see more of it in our fight of making sure that people are aware about their mental health, especially young people.
Sure. Fatima?
Yes, I totally agree with Rose as well. I can speak from experience again and the groundwork that we do. So I love working within communities. And when we go out and we do school talks around depression, suicide, stress, exam stress, we see the children and how interactive they are and how interested they are about learning about mental health. But at the same time, we see how advanced their thinking is. And they can ask questions that we would never think would come from, you know, teenagers or from grade 8 kids. And I think if we have to integrate mental health and well-being within the curricula, it will just solidify what we do on the ground level when we do these school talks and we go visit schools on a monthly basis. It will just make, you know, it gives a source or a resource to the children so that they know, okay, if I'm not okay today, they become more self-aware about themselves, which leads them to then say, okay, I'm just not feeling okay, or I'm feeling a bit off. I need to reach out and speak to someone. And just from the school talks that we've done, we've had so many kids come up and say, I need face-to-face counseling, or I need to speak to someone. After the school talks, they approach you and they start opening up, and we do on-site counseling at times. And just merely by learning about things, they then become more self-aware, which means they are able to look after themselves, which also means that we could avoid that high, like, the seriousness of mental illness. And it's almost, it's a preventative and an intervention program in totality, which is, that is why I think it's so important to maybe, you know, advocate and integrate mental health within the curricula.
Sure. Fatima, I'm going to close the show with both you and Shiny. When people do want to go and seek help, when people do want to go and have that conversation, where do they go?
Okay, so from our side, SEDEC's open 24 hours a day. Our toll-free line is 0800-456-789.
Sure.
Or they can alternatively visit our website, which is www.sedec.org, and reach out to us. There's emails there, there's social media. We have many avenues of how you can reach out to us. Please, if you need anything or you just need to have a conversation, reach out to us. We are there to help you.
Give us that number again, the toll-free number.
It's 0800-456-789.
And the website?
www.sedec.org.
Sure. Shaini? Same question to you, Shaini. Where would people need help and find you and get assistance?
Right. Well, if you need any counseling help, I would definitely recommend calling that SADAG national number for any immediate counseling support. If you have a question about how to navigate a healthcare system, about a loved one, you're not sure they were in this facility, they need a transfer to that, all the rest, feel free to email us with those. Or if you have any questions about what resources are available in your community, please email us at info@safmh.org.
Sure.
You can also go to our website, safmh.org, and get in touch with us there.
Shaini, thank you so much for joining me on Power Perspective tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaini. And that's Shaini Geffen, Fatima Zahra, thank you so much, and really appreciated the conversations. I think it's a conversation that we really, really need to engage more often. And I'll talk to my producers about bringing the two of you back here just to begin to also just talk about schizophrenia, dementia, depression disorders, you know, the panic disorder and all of those. We didn't even get to all of that. I think just the landing conversation was important.
Definitely. We would love to be back on your show to create more conversations. Thank you so much for having us, though, and taking the time to actually create awareness around mental health.
Thank you so much, Fatima.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.